Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I hope you had an amazing holiday season, and I hope you are stepping into this new year filled with big anticipation for how you are going to be serving in 2022. It's time to be bringing all of your genius into the world. Your gifts are needed right now, right here. I know there are people out there looking to find you. I hope you're stepping into this new year, being visible, bringing your voice out into the world, and really reaching out to help those in your community. I know I'm super excited. I am launching two new mastermind communities this month. One is my signature soulful inspired business mastermind, helping women raise up their voice, their visibility, and their business. The successes my clients have had in developing their thought leadership, growing their visibility on stages and podcasts and more, and significantly growing their businesses really inspires me. I'm so proud of the impact my clients are making with their work. It's all about the ripple effect for me. And I know these women are going out and creating a ripple effect with their genius, showing up in their communities. It's super exciting. And the second mastermind is for women entrepreneurs who have hit that six-figure plus mark and are ready to start taking quantum leaps in their business. This is a new program for me that I'm super excited about. And it was created because people kept asking for this next level of support. It's about scaling, it's about business growth, and an intimate community of like-minded impact makers. It's a different conversation around scalability, around processes, around teams, but still keeping it real in the realm of building the kind of business that we love. My work is always grounded in voice and visibility, and this new mastermind program also lets me bring in soulful approaches to business aligned with mindful strategy. I feel like it's an evolution of all my life work, getting to work intimately in a small elite group of change makers ready to level up. And there are only a couple of spots left in this mastermind group, so reach out and let me know if you want to know more. I'm currently enrolling in both of these groups as we speak, so reach out to me at cami@camigellner.com if you want to know more. And are feeling called to be a part of an extraordinary group of women raising up their businesses in 2022. The one thing I always say is I have the most extraordinary clients in the world, and I'm so very blessed. Today, you are in for such a treat. I am thrilled to introduce you to my friend, Courtney Smith Kramer. Courtney is one of the only 3% of female creative directors in the United States and was named a top 200 global marketing influencer and top 20 agency strategy global influencer. She is an accomplished creative strategist, a storyteller, a writer, and a designer. She has earned hundreds of creative awards, and her work has been featured in the Print International Design Annual. I actually remember when I was in the corporate world getting that book and loving to go through that book. So how cool that she's been in that. Courtney has founded two companies with her husband, Brian Kramer, the Silicon Valley marketing consultancy, Pure Matter, and H2H companies. And together they launched the H2H Growth Accelerator, a 12-week hybrid program that helps entrepreneurs recover from burnout in their own businesses. In her career, she has built campaigns for global brands like Plantronics, Cisco, Pitney Bowes, MasterCard, IBM, Netflix, so many more. She most recently completed a 4-year tenure as a global head of marketing for the Coactive Training Institute. Her first book, Be Your Creative Sexy Self, Humorous Stories to Help You Live a Happier Life, launched in July 2020, is at the number one spot in business humor on Amazon. Today, Courtney is helping purpose-driven brands as an outsourced creative director and CMO, and inspiring positive change by co-leading the H2H Growth Accelerator alongside co-founder Brian Kramer. I'm thrilled to introduce you to this extraordinary woman. Let's meet Courtney Smith Kramer. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Courtney. I am super excited for this interview. I've been looking forward to it. You have been a mentor, a friend, and someone I truly admire for a really long time. So I'm super thrilled that you're here today.
Oh, Cammie, I'm so excited too. I know we've not known each other for a while, and this is our first one-on-one.
I know.
I'm touched that you invited me to be on this Extraordinary Woman podcast because we're doing amazing things in this world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I was trying to remember how long ago it was that I actually met you, and I don't know, it's probably been 4 or 5 years, probably closer to five at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I came in through your H2H club and with you and Brian, and that was such an amazing community. I'm friends with so many people in that community that you guys built. And there was so much wisdom that came out of that. I think I was really in a growth stage in my business at that point. And so much I learned in that space, I apply in my business today. And I just have to do the shout out because you were the one that came out with my raise up. I'll never forget that hot seat I had, and you came up with it, and I was like, oh my God, that's it. And that became such a fundamental piece of my brand. So that was really amazing. And then you and I got to work last year on the Res work, which is a company, an environmental development company. We got to work on a branding launch together.
Yeah.
And that was so much fun.
And I'm still working with them today. So I'm super grateful for that introduction. And they're such incredible people and an amazing company. Check them out, res.us.
That's right. They are
solicitation.
Yeah, totally. Because they're just such a fun company, what they're doing for our world. I mean, I had no desire really to be doing any corporate work, but when they asked me to do their mission vision work with them and knowing what they do in the world, I was like, oh my God, yes, I'm a yes for that. And it was such a fun project.
Yeah, totally. I love what you said about the HGH Club. Thank you for the shout out. But I think it's so fun because, you know, I was learning along the way with everyone.
Well, we always are, right?
We had no idea what we were doing when we set up that community. And we're just like, we really want to start this thing. And we think that we could just develop this incredible community of other amazing humans who care about the same stuff that we do, which is helping to uplift others all together at the same time by moving together forward. And I don't think that we expected that community to grow at that pace that it did, but and flourish and become what it did.
And I think the depth of relationships that are created.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like all those years ago, we were meeting, you know, multiple times a month together. And, you know, I bring Jenny Q in as an MC into my event, or we show up on each other's podcasts. There's just so much collaboration going on.
Yeah.
Lynn, I mean, there's just so many different people that were in that community. Simone, right? Simone has been a client of mine even. And it's like, it's just such a beautiful, fabulous, collaborative approach, right? I mean, it's like we became friends and it was on real conversations.
Yep.
On the human to human, right?
So, hey, we're onto something.
Those of you don't know, human to human. So H2H is human to human. And that was Brian Kramer's coined term that he chose all those years ago on a TED stage, didn't he? Is that how that?
Well, the real story is, we'd been saying it in our agency for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would put that slide in to every presentation that we did because we did and still do truly believe that it's not, you don't sell to businesses. Businesses don't buy stuff. It's people, human beings that are craving to be enrolled into something. And so we would always slip that slide into every presentation. There's no B2B or B2C. It's human to human. We didn't have HH at that time, but it's just human to human. And it just happened to take off, you know, like it took us 20 years for him to become an overnight success, which is on that stage at Bloomberg West, when he was giving a presentation to a brand innovators group of senior level marketers. And he, as usual in his presentation, that stage came up and Ted Rubin was hosting it or the slide came up and Ted Rubin was hosting it and he was like, whoa, wait, go back to that slide. And so Brian put it back to that slide, and Ted held his phone up and took a picture of it. And then, of course, that prompted everyone else in the audience to hold their phones up and take a picture of it. And then they started tweeting it out and using the hashtag HH. And I remember sitting in the back row watching TweetDeck, and I was like, oh my God, like HH is a thing. I can't even believe this. And it went bonkers viral. It got like 48 million impressions in 24 wow. hours, and 200 and plus blogs around the world in different languages were written about it. And it never looked back. I mean, that was the gasoline that got poured on that fire. And I was a couple nights after that, we were at a friend's house and we were telling him about that experience. And he's like, you know, you got to write a book about it or someone else is going to claim it. Mm. And we were like, write a book about it. How are we going to write a book about it? And luckily he and I had been blogging about it for, you know, multiple years, our philosophies about this. And so we were able to like print it out, all of his blogs, organize them on the floor. So like, okay, I think I see some threads here. We could pull together some chapters, and then we stitched it together in 2 weeks and self-published it.
That's crazy. You did that in 2 weeks.
I know. We weren't even expecting to do that, but it was like, felt really important at the time. And
yeah.
So then in 2015, at the end of 2015, we were like, well, that was a good run. HH, that was really great. And then it was named like one of the top marketing terms by Sprout Social, and it like moving into 2015, and we're like, oh, I guess it's still a thing. It's still a thing. And so over the years, it's just like, it was there, and Brian got a lot of keynotes from it and notoriety, and a lot of, you know, opportunities came because of it. But it was funny. We referred to it as like the stray dog that would follow us around. like we
there it is again.
Food along the way, and then it would just keep following us. And then we were like, all right, eventually in a couple of years ago, we're like, I think it's time for HH to, you know, be on its path for world domination. So that's when we launched the HH Club. And then after that sort of ran its course, then we thought, well, let's blow this out bigger, which is when we conceived of our HH Growth Accelerator, which we launched in June. So that's been incredible.
Yeah. And it goes back to such good basic, we're building community, we're building relationships. And
yeah.
That's good. I love it. And tell us a little bit about the agency Pure Matters. I know you guys co-founded that together.
Yeah.
And you went on a journey where you had that for how many years? Quite a few.
20. Well, it's still kind of going, but not in its...
Yeah, not in the heyday that it was. Yeah. It's a different form today,
yep.
Because you've got different things going on. And so tell us a little bit about starting the Pure Matters. And then there was a time where you really decided to take a shift. And so tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, we started... when I moved to California in 2001, Brian and I were engaged, and he was working at another marketing firm, but I had had my own design firm for a number of years before that. And so I was used to being an entrepreneur. And at that time web was very young. And so I was more into traditional. And after being out here for a year, after we got married, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, you know, we could do this together. His background is in more interactive and digital marketing, and then mine was in more traditional. So this was like early years of the term right. Integrated marketing. And so we're like, let's just do this. And so we started it in our condo, and we had no clients. We had no nothing. In fact, our original name was the Elements Group. And so we spent all this time like, what? How do you come up with a name for yourself? Oh my gosh. Well, we love, you know, the four elements, the fire, you know, air, water, earth, and the balance that they bring, and the bit of like the ethereal spiritual element of it too. And so we're so excited about it and designed this logo.
And I just got to do a time out there, because that was like way before being spiritual was cool.
That was part of what made Brian and I's relationship work, is we always had that sort of, you know, deep-seated understanding of like belief in the universe and energetic flow, yeah. And you know, just, yeah. karma and doing right by people and doing great stuff in the world, and then it will come back to you. And so anyway, turns out, like, we trademarked it and everything. And then it turns out we had a new client that was located up in Sonoma, and they were trying to find our phone number and called information. This is how long ago it was, right? It doesn't even exist anymore. Called information and was connected with a design firm in San Francisco called Group Element. And they found out about us because there was this big business journal article about our new company, and they sent us a cease and desist. We were like, I was heartbroken. And I was like, no, are you kidding me? And so they said, you have 24 hours to change your name. And wow. I'm like, it took us so long to come up with this name, and now you're saying I have to change it. We already have everything designed, like the logo and everything. So I was like, all right, fine. I'm not changing the logo. We're going to keep it like the science and spirit. And so then I was like, all right, well, sciencey matter, gray matter. Okay. Yeah, that works. But I was kind of want to stick it to these people, right? Because what they did, like, not in a mean-spirited way, but just like, so I started doing some research, and I found out that the definition of pure is the absence of elements.
Oh, there you go.
So I was like, well, clearly we are completely devoid of elements now. So we became pure matter. And like
within 24 hours,
and gift from the universe, purematter.com was available.
Yeah.
So like, and at that time it was like, that little, like, oh my God, violin moment where you find that fissure in the veil.
Right.
Like, thank you for the gift.
Yeah.
And anyway, so from there we grew it, and it eventually got like this little cute Victorian house downtown San Jose as an office. And then we grew to 9 people and outgrew that space, and then moved to downtown San Jose in this beautiful, like, quintessential agency space with the brick walls and the 20-foot ceilings and big old windows. And it was just an awesome space. And at our heyday, we're 30 people. Mm-hmm. And we're doing, you know, business with global brands like IBM, Cisco, Plantronics, Netflix, DVD. And in 2016, it just kind of crushed us.
The weight of it all.
The weight of it all. The responsibility of having to, you know, bring in enough business and have the cash flow to be able to support 30 employees, mm-hmm, and their families and healthcare and all of that.
Yep.
And it just got to be too much. And, you know, my version of the story and Brian's version of the story are slightly different in that, because of H2H, he was out traveling. He was keynoting. In fact, I think in 2015, he traveled 205 days
that
year. And so, you know, in 2015, what was that? We had a 15-year-old and a, 8-year-old?
Yeah. So your kids were young and impressionable.
Yeah. And so it was a lot for, you know, me sort of on my own to be raising these kids, and then our third baby, this pure matter environment and all of these people in it. So, we just made that radical decision to let everyone go in a day and then rehire them as contractors so that we could service the work that we had already committed to. I do not recommend laying off everyone in one day.
Yeah. A brutal day.
It was such a brutal day. It was, I mean, I can't think of anything else that compares to it. You're traumatized. Right. Everyone's traumatized.
Right.
And then we were able to service the rest of that business for the rest of the year going into, this was in 2016, and then going into 2017 as sort of floating freelancers.
Right.
After having this huge experience. And, you know, I guess in hindsight, when I look at it, CTI came into my life in February of 2017.
Okay.
And they hired me and another, our former VP of strategy, to help them with their new positioning. And I knew their co-president, Carrie Baker, had been a client of ours about 9 years earlier when she was with a different company. And so we pitched the business and won the business, and worked with them from February until May, and helped them with their new positioning, and eventually knowing that they were going to go into a rebrand from Coaches Training Institute to Coactive Training Institute, and consulted with them over the summer. And then in fall of 2017, Carrie's sister, who she's very close to and also works at the company, her husband had a really bad accident. And so they needed to go take care of that. And then it was sort of me last man standing mm-hmm. in the marketing department. And we had just implemented a bunch of programs. And so I was like, well, in service of everything that we've done and to help this out, I'll just help stay. And when they tell me to leave, I'll leave. And it turns out I stayed there for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went from being an entrepreneur all those years and really owning that persona of being an entrepreneur,
yeah,
being the chief marketing officer for CTI. You talk about the journey of separating your title from your job role. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I had always sworn as a lifelong entrepreneur of 25 plus years that I would never in a million years go brand side. that was just something that I was always like, I'm never going to work for the man. And when I got to CTI and saw the, the incredible work that they do over there, highly recommend it. It's truly transformational and life-changing the way that they run their coach training program and their leadership program. But also being a part of the executive team, Carrie and Carlo, the co-presidents, were very committed to running it like a leadership development company within the company. So mm-hmm. our team ran like we were constantly in a leadership boot camp. That was so good for me at the time. And what I found myself grappling with was separating like my worth in the world and my value from my title and my role. Mm-hmm. Because I had so self-identified with being a creative director and an entrepreneur that when I became, global head of marketing and part of this company team, what did that mean for my identity?
Right.
Who, like, did it take away from it? Did it enhance it? Did it add to it? And pulling that away from my identity was like pulling muscle from the bone. It was like fascia and painful and hard and tough and took a long time to do. And what I appreciated about that self-exploration was it helped me realize that my value in this world is not what I do.
Right.
It's who I am, my impact on others, which is everyone's legacy, is their impact,
right,
on others, and what I'm a stand for in this world. And that was a major gift.
To be able to come back home to you, the true essence of you. I mean, it's interesting because when I think of my own journey, I was kind of the flip of that, right? I was in the corporate world and I love that title. And I, this is who I am. And when I got laid off in 2008, it was the best gift I ever had because suddenly all of that was stripped away and it didn't feel like a gift at the time. It was, like you said,
it never does.
Yeah. It was painful and it was, pulling the fascia away from the bone. Just like you said, it was really a painful time in my life. And what the pause that came on the other side of that was coming back home to me. And it was there that I found that I could be the entrepreneur side of things and really bring the impact of me, the gifts of me forward. So it's interesting it's just the flip side of that.
Yeah, totally. Well, I believe that it was part of the healing that needed to happen from coming from an industry that is completely project-based and your value is what you deliver. Mm-hmm. the quality of the project or how creative this campaign is, or how well this website is programmed, or whatever. It's like I hadn't realized it, but had sort of trained myself and the way that the agency was run to assign my value to that. And so to be given the gift to remove that,
yeah,
then remember.
And who did you discover of you when she stripped those titles away and really came home to you?
I discovered that leaning into my eccentric side feels that's me being in full permission.
Yeah.
So the mask that I had worn at the agency is intelligence. I'm smarter than anyone else in the room. I have an answer for everything, and made me realize that I used to get so nervous before I would give these client presentations and stuff. And what I realized looking back is the reason why I was doing that is because I was completely wearing a mask, you know, whereas if I just would have come in and be like my goofy, you know, eccentric, quirky self, that in a lot of ways that might have been more compelling.
Yeah. And we don't know that until later, right? We just don't, I totally get it.
No. And, you know, so for me to remind myself that I'm always in full permission, you know, I have this other sticky here that is sitting here on my computer, which is I am the eccentric muse who activates your sparkle. That's the gift that I know that I can give to people because I am a muse, and it's the thing that I love being the most for others is, you know, being in the business of inspiration. Yeah. And being in the business of curiosity and imagination and helping others see that in themselves, because that's where I find my greatest joy, is following that curiosity trail and imagining what if all of my best ideas started out with oh, wouldn't it be cool if we did this or whatever. And, you know, that's the land that I like to live. And I wish for others that they can come play with me there.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you, I've seen you play there, and it makes me excited every time that I've been in that circle with you where you're playing in that space. And it's people feel it. People feel that excitement, that the possibilities, the light that comes through. So I totally admire that. And when I think about where our world has come and, you know, in the last couple of years, you know, we were chatting before we jumped on, our world has been through some crazy times, right? And that light and that spark and that what if is really needed in our world today. When you think about 2022, as we step into 2022 right now, what do you see? What's your biggest hope for our world as we step into this new year?
Biggest hope. Well, I guess what first came to mind is, find time, make time to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to get overwhelmed, you know, especially if you're a news monger like I am and have had to back off, not opening Twitter and saving, only check the news in the morning and then don't check it again until the next day. It's very easy. And, you know, what I'm discerning about my own mental health, and I can imagine for others, which is we have to take time to step away.
Yeah.
And maybe new mantra for 2022, take time to step away and play.
Right.
Step away and play.
I would agree with that.
You know, and because that's where those moments come. You know, I wrote a book about creativity called Be Your Creative Sexy Self, Humorous Stories to Help You Live a Happier Life. And that was largely in part because people having the title creative director, whenever I would introduce myself that way, people would be like, "Oh, you're so lucky. You're creative. I'm so envious. I'm not creative at all." And I would just want to shake them and just be like, "What are you talking about? You're a human being.
Right.
You are creative. Creating is the most sacred act a human could do. Mm. It's literally in the first line of the Bible.
Yeah.
In the beginning, God created earth." And it was like, oh, well, okay. I guess if we're created in his image, then, you know, creation would be the most sacred act that anything would do. It's the first thing he chose to do. And, you know, I'm not a religious person, but this is a very sacred text, you know, that a lot of people invest their lives in and belief system in. So anyway, I was like, yeah, I wrote this book because I so desperately want people to be able to see that inside of themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and to realize that they have the ability to create anything. It doesn't have to be something tangible. It's like, what do you believe? What do you stand for? When you know that, you'll know what you want to create, because you'll know what you're frustrated with. And the thing that you can't stand anymore, that you go and create this new innovation over here and bring that to the world to help solve the problem that you're so frustrated by, because you have this core belief.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting out of our own way with our perceptions of what creativity can be. So if we were looking into 2022, it's like, let's get creative. What can we change? What can we get passionate about? What can we wrap our impact around?
Well, yeah. And to that point, people so many times collapse artistry with creativity.
Yeah.
Artistry is an expression of creativity. They are not the same things.
Ooh, that's good. That's really good. Because I'll be honest. I mean, I have been one of those ones that have uttered the phrase, you know, as a former VP of marketing, I loved my creative people. And I said, and I probably was one of those ones that said, oh, you're so lucky to be creative. And I think it's so I honor that, you know, we all have creativity within us, and it's about how we apply it and how we let it come through us and live through us.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, part of what we teach in our accelerator program is one of the first things is we identify what you're a stand for.
Yeah.
Intentionally know what you want your impact to be, because everything is rooted in that. It doesn't matter if you have two seemingly totally different businesses. You know, we all have interests. I'm a Renaissance person myself. I'm so scattered. I have a million projects going at the same time. Right. But at the core of it, I believe that creativity is, at the essence of us as human beings, and that creation is the most sacred thing that we can do. So that becomes the through line for everything that I touch. And everyone else has a core belief that they are a stand for. The trick is finding it because it requires you to go inward.
Yeah.
And, that's hard for a lot of people to do, especially if you're not, you know, trained to be able to know how to go inward or comfortable with being that vulnerable with yourself, because there's other shadows living in there too.
Yeah. It wants to get in the way. You know, and it's true, because I can think about when I wrote my purpose statement all these years ago, and it was about helping a million women step into their passion and purpose and live the life that they're meant to live. I mean, that was, I wrote that probably 8 or 9 years ago. And that, and the way I do that has changed over time. And the essence of what it stands for is still the same, right? So, and it's helped me stretch into places where I might not have stretched. It's helped me do things that, you know, think bigger and grow, you know, and look at how I can create an impact. That's always been my driver. At the end of the day, it's like, I want to work with clients who make an impact. I want to make an impact, you know? So if I'm looking to that, I think that's such a beautiful way to really feel into how we're going to show up in the world. And I love that you bring creativity as your core piece and how you're going to impact the people around you.
Well, you know, what we say is everyone has a core belief, which the sum of which will heal the world. It's that phrase, you know, it's the opposite of death by 1,000 paper cuts. It's life by 1,000 beliefs.
People showing up in their beliefs and really being true to that and holding themselves accountable to being in that belief. I like that.
Well, there's no point in not identifying it, right? Because it does drive every decision that we make.
Yeah.
It's just being conscious of it so that it helps you to make more intentional choices that are more on purpose for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do we step into really understanding what the impact is that we're meant to make in the world? I mean, what are some of the things that you do? I know you guys are doing that with your H2H Growth Accelerator. What are you helping them do there?
So the program was created to help other people like Brian and I, who became completely burned out and felt lost about what was next for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you, and just kind of bring everybody up to date, you left CTI after 4 years.
Yeah.
And now you are doing, your role is really an outsourced CMO role and creative director.
Yeah. So I left CTI as global head of marketing in May of 2020 and took a little bit of time to get my entrepreneur legs back. Mm-hmm. had to wash the institutionalization off of me. and then got back into what I know I'm good at, and at which is outsourced creative director support, outsourced CMO marketing strategy and planning work, and general business consulting. And then that was when, you know, Brian and I made the decision in the second half of 2020 to really stand up this hybrid course. It's a 12-week hybrid video, weekly 2-hour calls, mastermind calls, and then a lot of homework in between. We're kind of referring to like a business MBA light program, but we're teaching people how to get clear, to mobilize their community and organize, rethink their sales, how they sell. And then get the freedom back in their life that they want. Yeah. You know, I mean, the reason why, like, entrepreneurs who stand up successful businesses oftentimes don't take the time to do any of that.
Yeah.
And they just launch their business and start doing the thing. And what happens is the founder, the president, CEO, person of all hats, ends up being the lead salesperson because they're the ones that had the passion to start the business in the first place. And then when you grow to a certain revenue or employee level, you feel super stuck because everyone's coming to you for every decision. You can't go on vacation without checking your email.
Yeah.
You have no freedom from the business, and that's what leads to burnout.
Yeah.
And so we know what it's like to go through that and can teach you how to get out of that so that you can either get to the next level or at least have some sanity and peace in your life.
Love that. Love it. So this, what you mentioned to me that you're learning lots from this H2H accelerator. What is it that you're learning as the leader of the group? And I so understand every time I'm leading a group or leading a new group, I learn something. What are you learning with yours?
That's one thing. I mean, that we're all the same in terms of human beings. And I can't tell you how fulfilling, you know, the co-leading this group with Brian is so on purpose for me, for what I was mentioning before, which is being that eccentric muse, you know, that helps activate your sparkle and knowing the questions to ask and where I'm trying to coach someone towards so that they can have that epiphany themselves. Mm-hmm. And when they have it, you can see mental fireworks going off.
Yeah.
And they realize something about themselves that they never knew before.
Yeah.
And I love human souls. I just love them so much. And when I see them sparkle, it makes me want to cry.
Yeah. 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 Oh, I love that. I so love it. And it's, and you're right. It's like when the dots all finally connect and they go, oh, I see it.
Well, it's such a gift. We all have inherently the tools to do this ourselves. Yeah. It's just this program. I've learned the, you know, the importance of systems and structure when it comes to creativity.
Yeah.
Let's
use this because right now, so many of our listeners are looking at their 2022 and they're thinking about creativity. I mean, well, they're not thinking about creativity. They're trying to think about their year and how they're going to plan into their year. What's something they can do to light up that creativity in their thinking around the year before them.
Yeah. So marketing planning and business planning is one of my favorite things to do.
Uh-huh.
What they can do is look at 2022 as a theme. Like pretend like 2022 is a one big story.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme of that year is momentum matters.
Okay.
So let's just make that up.
Yeah.
And so when you can define what the theme is of your year or quarter, you can break it down by quarters too. What that does is it helps you build a structure around your planning and your thinking. So mm-hmm. the theme becomes the answer to everything that mm-hmm. that you're questioning, right? Like, should we mm-hmm. do this or should we do this? Well, how is this building momentum?
Yeah.
And then when you can answer that, oh, well, this thing over here is going to get us faster momentum, so we should do that. It helps you prioritize your choices because you know where you want to go. It helps to create movement and direction.
Yeah.
And like I said, you can do this. Like I like to do it quarter by quarter because things change over
Yeah,
time.
I like the quarter by quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I were to look at our own business for HJH, and the growth accelerator for our first quarter, I would say it would be, let's see, sensing into our HJH growth accelerator. So what came to my mind is build slowly.
Mm-hmm. So you know what's coming up for me for 2022 right now, and I haven't done all my strategic planning for the next year yet, but this is what's kind of rising to the top in some of my journaling right now is simplicity. And Great. You know, simplicity in process, simplicity in team supporting me, simplicity in how I show up in my days. I love and I probably even got, you know, choose a word from, I probably got that from H2H Club back in the day, right? I mean, that's probably where that first started showing up for me. I will say in 2020, my theme was peaceful, easy feeling from the song. And what a year to have that theme, right? I mean, so sometimes we choose those themes in coming into the year and don't even know how much we're going to really need that.
Well, and we do need them
yeah.
as a guiding light, because otherwise creativity without a container is just, it just dissipates into the ethos, right? So I use the analogy of a riverbed. Water needs a riverbed so that it stays contained and gains momentum over time and has a direction of where it's flowing.
Yeah.
If it didn't have a riverbed, it would either flood or dissipate into the soil.
Yeah.
It would never, it would go nowhere. It would just stay stagnant and stuck. So this is another reason why systems and structure are so important within a business environment. And so often people don't have these systems and structures set up. And, you know, the structure would be things like the Asana, the tools, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That I'm a huge super fan of Asana.
Me too.
Yes. And so that's a structure that we use to help the systems, our project management flows, the things that are flowing through it, be more efficient and help us so that nothing falls through the cracks. Like my Asana to-do list is my boss. It owns me, because otherwise I would not know where to prioritize or what to do next, or I would forget to do everything.
Yeah.
Be like a little kid.
I would too.
A butterfly. Mm-hmm. You know, so,
and those are the kind of repeatable processes. Like when I look at my Ignite event, that is, you know, something that I do year on year, that project comes down, starts a new project for the next year. You apply your theme to it, which I do apply. I do come up with themes each year. I think I probably don't really look at the theme tightly into each of those tasks, but I think that's a really interesting thing that could make that even stronger.
Yeah. Well, I do all my campaign planning in Asana. Mm-hmm. Or in annual road mapping. So you can do the same thing, which is even if you don't have Asana, you can still do this on a piece of paper. But it's looking at your year, coming up with your quarterly or annual themes, marking the milestones that are important to your business. So mm-hmm. like we'll use REDS, for instance, mm-hmm. we're talking about this morning, which is like Earth Day is like REDS's birthday.
Right.
Because their whole reason for being is to help restore the earth. And on Earth Day, it's like their means of reason for being.
Right.
So that's a really important milestone for REDS. For H2H, it might be something different. And I don't know what it would be off the top of my head, but like...
Well, mine is Women for Women, or the International Women's Day. And I just actually moved one of my events into that week so that I could really play with that more.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess for H2H, it would be like Small Business Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would be a really big one, or anything that surrounded entrepreneurs, or, you know, whatever it might be, because we're industry agnostic. But anyway, so mark the milestones on your roadmap and then consider your existing campaigns or new campaigns that you want to stand up and start to plot those out into marketing campaigns, sales effort, and recruiting and retention efforts.
Oh, nice.
Because they all need to be paid attention to in your company. Too often people mistake marketing, I'm using air quotes here, marketing campaigns with more sales efforts.
Yeah.
If it's only just generating leads, or if you're only spending advertising where people are who are already wanting your project, that's a sales effort.
Right.
Or what you're selling. Marketing is the front of the funnel stuff.
Yeah.
And the nurture back of the funnel stuff, the keeping customers loyal and word of mouthing, so that they're sending referrals over to you. And then the recruitment and retention bucket is who is going to be best attracted to our company? Are we attracting the right types of talent? Which you won't if you don't know what you stand for, by the way.
Right.
Because then you're going to get all sorts of yahoos coming. And it's a huge time suck, right? Because you want you only want the right type of candidate to come to you, and control that as much as you can. And then layer those over each other, because there's always connections and threads from each of those activities that you can pull and attach to the milestones. And then you can take a look at like the thread, say it's first quarter and it's all about like, employees matter. Maybe that's a theme too, that you're really going to focus on your employees, if you have them for the first quarter. And so that becomes the answer to everything. And then you can say, okay, we're going to prioritize this internal campaign first, and we're going to generate a series of surprise and delight experiences for our employees because they matter to us. Not the only thing that matters, but it's the thing that we're going to prioritize.
Right.
You know, during this time. And then once you plot all those, then you can kind of see the big picture and how it all comes together. And then you have the opportunity to say like, wow, Q4 is really looking light. Let's pencil in some extra budget to allocate to Q4 so that we don't lose any momentum that we've come up with for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And it's perfect timing, as that, you know, I'm going to have the next 2 weeks off. I can start playing with all of that. So I love that.
Yeah. Planning. And I will say like, this was a piece of wisdom that was bestowed on me by Henry Kimsey House, the founder of CTI, mm-hmm. in one planning meeting, which I, being an Asana nerd, I like had completely gone like planned out the marketing, you know, year. And I had all these milestones and like, it was very, very calm. Like there was a lot, like probably more than anyone could accomplish in a year.
Right.
And Henry came over and he looked at my giant piece of paper Gantt chart, right, that I had printed out. It's like, so what happens if none of this happens? Like, what is that going to do? And I said, well, that's going to affect this thing over here. And he said, well, what happens if that's affected? And I said, well, I'm going to be really disappointed and stressed out. And he said, how about you just plan for intention, not expectation? Then you'll never be disappointed.
I like that. I like that. A business coach that I worked with several years, her name's Tommy Wolf. And when she does her strategy days, and I actually incorporate this into my strategy days now too with my clients, but I love it as like picking out what are the things that are going to really move your needle and have have no more than 2 to 3 per quarter. So those are the big things that are going to move the needle for your business. And some of them are going to be like, for me, like when I look at Ignite, that is one of those, because it takes a lot of my time, even starting in second quarter. That's going to be one of the things I'm going to focus on in that, at that time. Right. And then taking those 2 to 3 things down to 12 week. Okay. Here's the one thing I'm going to do each week. And yeah, there's all the other stuff that you have to do, you know, meet with clients and all the other things, but having that 12 week out from each quarter gives us an opportunity to find calm.
Yeah.
And I've always loved that, because it does change it up to, you know, because it can be really overwhelming when you look at everything. And if you have a way to go back to those, okay, this is really the main things we really need to focus on in this quarter.
Yeah.
And I love your theme associated with that.
Yeah. That the theme helps to drive the prioritization and the decision-making. The deadlines, like getting it done part is like, the truth is most of our deadlines are self-imposed and we kill ourselves over no reason. To try to get stuff done for a deadline that we created in the first place. And then the other thing is, everything takes longer than we think.
So true.
Not necessarily because we're not working hard enough or whatever. It's just, there's things that are beyond our control that we can't anticipate. And, you know, what this mantra that we say, that Brian and I say, which is, what you can't do yourself, outsource. And what you can't outsource, automate.
Say it again.
If you can't do it yourself, outsource it. And if you can't outsource it, automate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Those, that's a really good phrase for me to take into 2022 as I think about simplifying, because that's exactly the kinds of things, the kinds of decisions I need to be making. So yeah, I love that.
One thing too, that I'll say that I've learned by observing people go through our accelerator, which is, the most common problem that entrepreneurs have is they have never been trained in how to run a business. And so they think that they have to do everything themselves.
Yeah.
When you started your business, you started it to be great at the thing that you love.
Yeah.
Everything else, if you had one person to hire, hire an operations person.
Very good.
First hire. As an entrepreneur, someone who can delegate for you, be the firewall, run the project management, develop the processes and the systems that are going to simplify and make your business flow. Because taking it on yourself is not your highest value in this world.
So true. So true. Such good advice. Courtney, where can people learn more about you and your work?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. You can go visit my LinkedIn profile at Courtney Smith Kramer. Just look me up. You can find me and Brian on a sweet video at h2hgrowth.com.
Nice.
you can visit our agency website at purematter.com, or you can go read some, at this point, pretty old blogs that I've written at CourtneySmithKramer.com.
And your book is Be Your Creative Sexy Self.
Be Your Sexy Creative Self.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. 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 So the last question I always close with are, what 3 pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with us today?
Pearls of wisdom. The earth needs your energy. So be you and show up as you. Yes.
Love that. So that's 1.
Oh, 3?
3.
okay. Know what you're a stand for and everything else will be taken care of. And make time to play.
Awesome. 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 Courtney, this was a delight. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom. And I'm excited to even apply some of this in my own planning. I'll get the advantage of having this the last couple of years of the couple last weeks of the year before everybody gets to hear this in 2022. So
it's never too late to make a good plan.
That's right. That's right. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Cammie.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammygelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.